Hi everyone, it's Adam from Ukrfoot24 again here with a really exciting interview today for the Ukrainian Football Review. I'm here with Tercius Repomalepe, the new South African star for FC Minai, one of the new teams in the Ukrainian Premier League today. And really honoured that he's took the time out from his busy schedule to join us and give us a lot of his insight into life in Ukraine, and before that, with his fantastic journey from South Africa up to here. As always, I'm with my co-hosts, Andrew and Ray. Good evening, guys. How's everything with you two?
Good evening. Looking forward to this one. Another legionnaire, as they call them in Ukraine, giving us a nice interview. So I'm looking forward to it.
Ray, how are you, mate?
Evening, guys. I'm all good. I'm pretty sure it's the first South African footballer we have in Ukraine. I might be mistaken, but pretty much so. So I'm excited.
Oh, definitely. So now, Tercius, thank you so much. How's everything down in Minoy today, mate?
Good evening, guys. Everything's still okay. The weather is better now, you know, better than before a couple of months ago. So we're settling very well. You know, the weather is good. It's playable. It's enjoyable. Yeah. Despite the COVID-19 regulations, but we are trying our best to cooperate.
Ah, that's excellent. Now, of course, you've been playing football all your life. How did you first get started back in South Africa? What was your journey through from playing youth football, I imagine, playing with your friends as a young boy, to where you got with, am I right, you played for Ajax Cape Town, was it?
Yeah. Or,
and how did it all get started for you down there?
Yeah, of course. I'll just start because it's a very long journey. We can talk the whole night, you know. So I'll just try to get this quicker on how I went into professional structure, you know, so that we can be quicker. Like, I'm from Appel in Limpopo. So I was playing for a team there called Heights in Stekra. So we once had an academy, we heard about academy in Tembisa. So that's where I grew up, to be honest. That's where it all started. TS Academy is owned by Ivan Malahlela, is from Tembisa, but born in Teflop. So he's the person who especially worked really hard in terms of teaching me basics, you know. That's what is very important in football. They say you can be a footballer, but with basics, you can't make it. So he's the person who started from the scratch to make sure that he implements certain details of football, of top professional football. From there, he took me to Jomo Cosmos, where I was playing under 17. I was the captain of under 17. We qualified for future champions after so long. Then from there, while I was playing, I met Augusto Palacios. He was a director of youth development of Orlando Pirates Football Club. So he said, boy, we are interested in you. Then he called my coach, Ivan Malahlela. They made an agreement. Then that's where my shift from Jomo Cosmos to Pirates happened. Then for Pirates, I stayed for so long. For so long, to be honest with you, we were the generation that started multi-choice disc challenge in South Africa. Our first games, it was 13th of October. October, yes. I still remember the first game against AmaZulu in Kinzulatini Stadium. May his soul rest in peace, Kinzulatini. Yeah, he's one of the best people that he was named after the stadium. So that's where I started playing there. Then I went to Moroka Silos on loan from development side. So straight to Moroka Silos, of which I was a regular player under the top coaches of Ian Korowa, you know, Gordon Egerson. So I was well guided there because, you see, I was playing a defensive midfielder. So at that age, I was still young. So you can imagine if they give you that responsibility. And I was playing with the legends, like the likes of Pele Nomvete. If you know him, he did well in Europe. The likes of the Hamabalane, Jostashima Nedlatla. So the experience around me, they really showed me that, you know, in football, it's not a matter of how old you are, but the character that you give. it always shows up to say, I'm raising my hand, I'm ready. You understand? So they were like, they taught me a lot of things to say, boy, the character you have, you are able to shout at us, we are elder than you, but the character you are showing to us, we respect you, because in football, we want one thing, which is to win. So the emotions you are showing inside the field, the respect you are giving off the field, they are totally different. In the field, you treat us like we are the same age as you, because we want to win. So we really understand that and we respect it. So from there, that's where I came back to Orlando Pirates. From there, then I stayed. I got another loan to Ajax Cape Town. To Ajax Cape Town, I played. I was a regular. That's where I got the injury. I was out for almost 3 months. Very frustrating. Under the guidance of the director of Turkey, Muhsin Ertuğrul, one of the best coaches. He had a huge hand in my professional soccer as well. Very tactical coach, top coach. You know, so he's one of the coaches that made me to be comfortable to play any position, because the automatism thrills that he was showing, the one-on-one sessions I had with him. So I remember one day he was telling me about Alaba from Bayern Munich, how his the numbers of his passing patterns, why he's able to play several positions. So he says, you have the ability, but you need to learn. You know, you need to learn, you need to analyze more. Football is about that. And football is no matter of say whichever position you're playing, but as long as you understand when to move, you understand. So it's better than that. The weight of the pass, the interchange of position, the movement of the ball, the movement with the ball, accuracy, the when to play a long pass. So there were little details that I sat down with him. He was showing me. Of course, he was a, what you call, 2018 World Cup analyst. So you can tell the detail that they have is one of the best. Telling me how football, the modern football is changing into. So you can have an idea to say, my boy, come, you see most of the goals they are considered in this area. Why is most of the teams are using 3-5-2, the in terms of formations. So the details that he taught me, it was too much. It was too much. It's like I was going to the school, university, to say every day after training, sometimes I run away because I know, hey, he'll start coming to say, we shower in Malepe, come, I want to talk to you. I know there I will spend almost 4 hours, 5 hours. Then sometimes I thought, you know how players we are. Yeah, but it was good. Today I'm grateful. I'm able to play under any coach because I know how to take the information, because that's what is important. Once the coach, you get the philosophy of the coach, the easier it becomes. Because each and every coach wants the players who respect his philosophy and they apply themselves towards his plan. So for me, I'm grateful for whatever that he taught me. The tactics and discipline of the field, in the field, you know, professionalism.
So Tertius, what's it like representing your country, South Africa, across the youth levels and even the 2016 Olympics?
Remember that time after Moroka Silos, I got the under-20 call-up. It was my first under-20 call-up. That's when, the first day I got the call-up, that's where Thabo Senoong gave me armband. To say, my label, from today is your first day at camp, you will lead the team. You can imagine on your first call up, then they give you that kind of responsibility. But for me, I was very happy for it to say, look, this is one of the challenges. Sometimes in life, when challenges like this comes, you need to accept them and go look forward for them. Because at some point, they make you grow quicker. They make you grow quicker, regardless of whatever the outcomes that may be, but the mere fact that you accepted the challenge, because under your leadership, we're looking forward to qualify for World Cup, we're going to qualify for AFCON, there's a lot of expectations. And we can imagine how many under 20 players we have in the country. Mm-hmm. In the population of 55 million, there must be plenty of players, but I was the chosen one. Then why don't I take the responsibility? Right. So I took the responsibility. I came back to Pirates. I worked hard. I never got the chance to play. Of course, I understand as a player, there are players that waited for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years without playing. So who am I to be frustrated by 1 year, 1 season of not playing? But what is important is not to lose your mind, what you want. Understand? So at least I was going to AFCON, playing international, coming training with them, because in training, that's where you learn a lot of things, because you're in a big team with top players. So you put your work in, you focus, you learn, regardless of your play or not. Of course, at some point you feel down because you feel like you want to play. But what you learn out of the training, daily trainings with them, is very top. It's a top club, top training, top coaches. So there's a lot to learn. So for me, I never took it in a bad way. I kept on going. So I was the only time I get the game time was due to friendly games and international level, of which it was under 20, AFCONs. And luckily, we did well, to be honest with you. We did well. We qualified to AFCON. We qualified for World Cup under 20 in Korea, 2017. When I came back, I was selected for under 23, a squad that were qualified for Olympics. So to be in the camp with them, we went to Kosafa with Coach Sheikh Mashaba, with Tavos Noah as an assistant. I remember I went to camp for 3 months, under 20, under 23 Bafana. Back to under 20, back to under 23. So it was, for me, it was challenging that I enjoyed, because I always wanted to represent my country. It's every player's dream to represent their country. So I enjoyed every moment of it. Then we qualified for World Cup. We went to World Cup. I came back. So there was another task. Of course, after the World Cup, before the World Cup of under 20, there was the preliminary selection for Olympic team. So I made the selection. I was with the team that traveled to Brazil for Rio 2016. Mm-hmm. When I got there, I got injured. I remember when Owen was asking, I was on the bench. My leg was not well. I got a knock. So he was asking me against Brazil. I remember we played Brazil after I'm talking about a good red card. He said, "Just want to threaten the team because you are one man down. Can you be able to do it?" I was like, "Coach, I don't want to be selfish because I just want to be in the field. But it's good to be in the field when you know you can deliver. But at the moment, I tried to put injection. It was, you know, I wanted to, but it didn't work out. I missed that game. Then, of course, we played. Then, unfortunately, with luck, the last game against Iraq, we needed a win so desperately. So that time I was much better. He filtered me. I started the game. I remember very well. We had a partnership. My partner was Rivaldo Gutierrez. In the right back, we had Abubakar Mubara, Itumele Nkune in the poles. And on the left, we had Teboho Meran. So it was good. I played 90 minutes that game. We played 1-1 draw. That's where we knocked out of the group stages. So when I came back, then we still had qualified for under 20. A World Cup of which it was going to be held in Korea in 2017. Then, of course, I was the captain. I brought the experience from playing with the guys that are on the top level. That's where the likes of Kick and Dolly, they got their moves to France, you know. So it's good. So with that, we qualified with the likes. Remember, that squad of mine, we had the likes of Luda Singh, Portugal, Kobaramela Khorisang, you know, Lyle Foster. He was still not there. He was not making the team for our generation. So we came back. Then from there, I came back from Pirates. I remember when we came back from Pirates, it was pre-season. Coach Machine was just signed by them. So we went to pre-season. It went well. But the challenges, you know, as a footballer, there's some of the challenges you sit down, you ask yourself, why me? Because in that group, I think it was me, Thabiso Kutumela, Gift Mutupa, Abubakar Mubara, we were the four players selected to Rio de Janeiro from Orlando Pirates. Four players. All of them, when we got back, they got chance to play. And it's not like I went to Brazil. I sat on the bench the whole games. I had my own 90 minutes whereby we played through. Understand? And I was featured in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can tell how frustrated it was. So all the guys, they got chance, minutes to play in the senior team. But I told myself to say, if it's not the right time, it's not the right time. Keep going. You still have a lot of things to achieve in front of you. Don't drop your head, because you never know what will happen tomorrow.
Right, Repo. So after having such a rich career back in your home country, how the move came about to Minai?
Then with the move, to be honest with you, I went to Chiba United, of course. I mustn't forget that one, of which I played two full seasons in Port Elizabeth. So it was a very good encounter for me, especially in PE, because I got enough game time. You can imagine in the space of two seasons, I covered almost 49 games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was very good, two successful seasons for me. So after then, I met my representatives. They were like, Tejas, they were looking, their teams that they're looking for a player of your caliber, a player who's a box-to-box midfielder, a player who can be disciplined in terms of the central defending, centre-back, a person who's flexible to play as a left wing, you know. As a left wing, if the team plays with five at the back, a player who's willing to play as a left back. So I said, okay, then why not? Because even my parent team, they haven't given me a chance. So I think it's time. You know, I've served with them for almost a decade. With that, I learned a lot of things from them. A lot of things they've taught me, they grew me up, and I'll always be grateful for what they did for me. So I went to the chairman, I asked the chairman, this is what's happening, and I will appreciate to face new challenges. I will ask you to release me, to give me a chance, you know, just release me so that I can face new challenges. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then here I am, you know, football, you never know. A few months ago, I was in South Africa, I'm in Ukraine, and that time, when I came to Ukraine, it wasn't easy, to be honest with you. It was very, very cold. I've never been in a coldness like that. But to be honest, it was very difficult. But at least when I got here, we had a coach who was a player, Corbin, the ex-coach of Minai. He understood mm-hmm. football to say acclimatizing is very important, of course. So he was saying to me, take it easy. Taking me to the 18, I was always in the 18, always in the 18. Sometimes it puts me the last 15 minutes to gel with the weather because you can tell it was very cold. I was not even coping on the bench. It was too much. But with time, you know, with time, you get to be comfortable. You start to, with players, if you are a new player, it's not easy for everyone. If they don't know you, it's not easy to have topics with players. They all waiting for you to do something for the team to show that they're a good player. Then there, they start laughing with you because everyone wants to surround them with the best. You understand? That's why that's why we have a team. So with time, I started gelling very well. You know where it starts? Where we start kicking each other. If they kick you, then you start being nose. No, then you have to respond. I started to respond very well. Then it started to be fun because that's how we do friends. You kick me today, I respond, I kick you. So tomorrow you have to say something to me because I kicked you. You kicked me, you want to see my character, I responded. Clearly, I'm showing you that if you kick me again, I'm going to come again for you. You see? Especially. So then from there, we started though the language is different. So, but we're trying to laugh, trying to talk silly things so that we can keep on laughing, showing smiles. And of course, we had translator, one or two players that are basic, they know English, a little bit of English, they can translate there and there. So, but look, today I'm very comfortable with the team. I can talk with anyone. I'm learning as well Ukrainian language. They are also learning English from me. So, and of course, having an African team in the club, of course. Mm-hmm. Shemi Mayembe from Zambia. He was my rival. He chopped me a lot of times, of course, with Zambia, the likes of Mwebu, Fish and Sakala. When we played those guys, it was like derby. I remember under 20 AFCON, we went to semi-final with them. The host again, it was fully packed stadium in Dola. Fully packed stadium. It was Lusaka Stadium, I remember. It was fully packed stadium, of which the game we went to second death. Every Zambian people, they were enjoying that game. So every time when we play in Zambia, people get to feel that joy to say, these people, they make football be enjoyable. Because I remember that AFCON was a very special day because I know this captain of Zambia. So after the game, I told him to say, call your players, I'll call my players. Then we go to the center, we pray together. Imagine I just got defeated. Then we pray together to wish each other all of the best in terms of preparations for World Cup going forward. That's why we became brothers. Today, there are some that are in Austria, Belgium, but we are still able to talk, you know. So today, I'm with Shemima Yembe, you see, in the same team. So football world is too small. So for me, for finding him in this team, he made me to even gel easier. Then Hugo Chugo from Nigeria came to join us. Bagayoko from Mali just joined us as well. So I can see with Bagayoko and Chugo, it's more easier for them because they found us here. We showed them how things are done, you know. So it's good to have brothers around.
Certainly is. It must be nice to have that little bit of bonding there. Do you four socialise together there to sort of combat any homesickness or anything like that?
No, for me, I don't know. I've never had such because I remember even when I was still in the academy, I spent it one year at the academy. You can imagine when the academy closes, everyone wants to go. And the coach, Ivan Malafel, was like, "Tisha, I'm preparing. I want to take you to an NFT team. So you need to be fit. You don't have time to go home." So it was like, to me, I didn't. You can imagine every child wants to go see their parents, but it's the situation, how much you want it. You have a situation, the decision that you take today, it might be the decision that affects you tomorrow, or it gives you joy tomorrow. So for me, I said to him, "No, if you feel like I'm ready, but you need to push me a little bit longer, then why not? I'll stay. It will give me time to even refocus on my studies, read ahead, so that because if I get the team, I'll be distracted. But at least if I've been on my books alone, because there's nothing that I'm doing, then it will be easier for me to adjust, to balance both." It was like, okay, stay. So for me, it's homesick. Yeah, we do miss parents, but at some point, the situation doesn't allow to be with parents. Yeah, with that, I'm very happy because my mom, she's a very understanding person. She knows my line of work. She understands. So she understands that in football, you need to always be sharp in mind. So she knows that she has made peace already. She has made peace already.
All right, Rapo. So you mentioned your African teammates, but there is also one teammate in your side who is a living Ukrainian football legend. And I think you know who I'm talking about, your number 10, Artem Milevsky. Yeah. So he just joined the club. How do you find your relationship with him, and how is he behaving in the team and so on? Does it feel like he is big or was big? What's the point?
He's a very friendly guy, to be honest. That's why I'm even laughing. You know, sometimes, you know, there are players that they have special talent. You can tell today, I was so wish he was 18, 19, 20. You can imagine he's like 37, but the way he controls the ball is amazing. Can tell a special player. Like we enjoy having him around, you know. He's not a player, but that's what you call a big player. When you say someone is a big player, someone who knows when to talk, when to shout, because there are some of the situations whereby you know of players who like to shout at each other, but he's not that kind of player. If you do a reasonable mistake, he understands. He's been in the game for long, he will say, "Oh, it's okay, it will come around, you understand? It will come okay." So with him, having him around is just the best thing that we can ever have as a team. You know, it's very humble. You can say whatever. If you have a problem, you need help, he will speak with you. He understands English. So for me, he treats everyone like the same. So not like, okay, now it's my level, we done mistake, I'm in the team. Even when you're playing square, he's a very friendly person, to be honest with you. I so wish he was even a bit younger so that he can even help us more. He's a special player.
Yeah, good point.
Really. Yeah. Andrew.
Yeah, so I guess moving on from your teammates, how has the club helped support your move into Ukrainian life? Where are you currently living? Sort of, how is Uzhhorod for you as a city? You know, first time out of South Africa.
Yeah, of course, Uzhgorod is a very chilled place, to be honest with you. It's not a busy place, of course, with Corona included. It's a very chilled place, you know. It's a place whereby no sound. It's a chilled place whereby you can find the peace of mind. You go to train, you come back. Even when you feel like taking a road work, it's not a busy street. So it's really, really chilled. I love such kind of places. I do love such a kind of places. And of course, with the club providing a translator for us, it made things to be even more simple, because if I have something I need to do or I need some help or I need something, I just give a translator call to say, can you help me with this? Understand? So they helped really a lot with the translator.
Persis, can I ask, before you came to Ukraine, what did you know about the Ukrainian Football League, and what has surprised you over the last few months since you've started playing in the league?
With that, because I'm a player who I do a lot of analysis alone. But to be honest, I'll be very honest with you. The only teams that I was aware of was Shakhtar and Dynamo Kyiv, because they always play in Europa. And with that, I didn't have that thing to say. It's Shakhtar, it's Dynamo, but I didn't have that time to analyze deeper into them, because I never thought that this kind of move will come so quicker, because everything happened so fast. So when I came this side, I started looking to say, how's the speed of the game? You know, the speed of the game. You know, you can imagine the pace of the game. Every team is looking to win time and space at the same time. Normally, in some leagues, it's either they give you time on the ball, but they deny you space. That's what normally some teams do things in some other leagues. But in Ukraine, when you are playing a team of your level, like the likes of Mariupol, the pace of the game is crazy. To be honest, the pace of the game is crazy. Man to man, we trap the ball, there's always a man next to you. So it increased. What I've noticed that the increase of the speed of play, the way you need to play quicker to get out of the situation. It was one thing that it was challenging. And of course, I needed to quickly know how to play one pass, one touch, going forward, playing back pass with the right weight. So those were the little details, because of course the grass as well, the ball can move quicker. You understand? So those were the little things that I was struggling before when I get, but you know, because I can see and I analyze, I see, okay, this is what I need to do. I started to gel very nicely. You know, with training, you get better. So now I can say I enjoy. I played as a left back. I played as a middle field. I played, you know, a couple of teams as a left back. Against Shakhtar, I came in as a sub for 15 minutes as a left back. Dynamo, I started. The level is top. It's good. And for me, the mere fact that number two, number four, they qualify for Europa, it was even a motivation for me, because every player, to be honest with you, they want to see themselves in that level. And that's what I'm working towards. To play Champions League, to play Europa is a dream for each and every player, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a top level, it's a top league for me, it's a top league. The level is good. The level is good, it's challenging. So I think one can grow out of it, you know?
That sounds awesome, like as in the fact that you've sort of taken to water with the league, essentially. I guess this one's more of a slightly less positive question. What was your reaction to when Cobin left and when Kopalovitz retired? Like, what was the team? Was the team a bit sad? Sort of, how was it going?
No, with that, to be honest with you, I really didn't understand, because he resigned after we played a draw against Mariupol. I remember I was having a discussion with Captain Basic, asking why did the coach leave. Then from there, before the club released the message, the discussion between the coach and the president of the club, So with what was said on the social media, I feel like maybe personally he felt like he's done so much for the club. So he felt this, so the club needed someone new to bring a change, because he's been trying, you know, trying. But to me, to be honest with you, each and every player would love to have a coach like him, because it's very different to be coached by a person who comes to you with the philosophy and demand, you know. That's the top coaching. I don't question anything with it. That's the top coaching, because the coach comes with philosophy, everything. That coach, I love to be in that situation, because there's no room for mistakes. But even though you know you are a human being, you do mistakes, but in terms of analyzing, he go direct to the facts, how I want my team to play. Understand? So with Corbin, he was understanding, because he played football. Not long ago, he just retired, So he still, you can tell, when we are doing finishing, what a coach with a good technique. I was like, hey, this coach is top, eh? So he was telling one of our goalkeepers, he said, I will bend you. So you can tell how he kicks the ball to say, okay, he's not long ago, he retired, but he was, you can tell, I didn't see him before playing, but he seems like he was a top player, top player. The technique, I can't doubt it. I see it every day on training. Sometimes he takes us on, you know. The bicycle kick goals he score when we play like small games, you can tell it or not. He was a top player the time he was playing. So for me, I think it's not a matter of players being set, because the mood hasn't changed. We accepted the situation the way it is. Understand? And with the situation that we are facing, we don't have time to say we are happy to emotions. It's not about that. It's about being together, regardless of the decision that they're taken. In the office, we need to keep on going, you understand? Because we have our names on the line. No player wants to be in the relegation, in the relegation list, you know? So that's what we are working. But we have overcome that already. Understand? We got the draw against Colos, so everything looks good. We keep going. We have a game against Desna. We just have to put everything. We lost, of course, against Ruth. So... And after that loss, of course, I'm happy how we took the loss, because we understand, we analyzed, we understand that we should have done better. You know, there's nothing better to heal a person like understanding and accepting. So you get over something quicker. So as a team, with the how do they behave, how we behave in the field of play during training, after the loss, you can tell that everyone forgot about the game. We are focusing on the next one. Mm-hmm. Because we still have a chance, tough fixtures ahead. We just have to believe in ourselves and look forward to collect each and every point that we can.
That's good to hear, Repo. And speaking about yourself personally, what are your plans for the future?
Yeah, my plans for the future, to be honest with you, that's a very interesting question. At the moment, my contract is ending. But with that, I can't say much, because there are a lot of discussions with my representatives. So we still viewing things, you know. But at the moment, I'm focusing on my job in hand, because I can't be thinking of contracts at the moment. What I'm doing is to put in the work. Then when the league closes, I can start say, okay, what options do we have? What do we do to go forward, you know? Because for me, it's very important. I don't want to be worried about contracts while I still have a task in front of me. I need to work and save my contract with pride. Understand? Then after, because I finished my contract, then I can start sitting down to say, now we are done with the project that I was focused on. What's the way forward? But at the moment, to be honest, my mind is in the remaining games with FC Minai, and I will put everything to make sure that we don't see ourselves in, we are in a situation, to be honest, we can't neglect that. We are down there, we are fighting for relegation. But sometimes in fighting for relegation, you get a lot of experience. Because surviving such, in terms of growing, you grow quicker, because you don't want to see yourself in the same situation again. So that's why we always tell the guys in the training to say, look, this is no longer about shaming, Mileski, it's about everyone, because our lives depends on this. You know, we need to win. We need to win. We need to save the team. You understand? Our lives depend on this. So that's what we are doing when we're working hard to overcome that.
Hey, Tertius, we wish you the best of luck with the remainder of the season. We've been watching very closely and, you know, we've been really impressed with all the hard work going on with FC Minai. So from all of us here at the Ukrainian Football Review, we wish you all the best of luck for the remainder of the season. For people listening, if they want to follow your story anymore on social medias or FC Minai's story anymore on social media, is there any social media page where they can follow you?
Yeah, of course, Malepe RT. Instagram.
Okay, on Instagram. Fantastic.
So Facebook as well, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much. And then Andrew and Ray, people who want to follow you too as well, any new listeners today, where's the best place for them to follow you, Ray?
For me, it's Instagram, Obon Casual.
Okay. And Andrew?
And for me, Zoria Londonsk on Twitter and Instagram.
And of course, I'm Adam at Ukrafoot24. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram as well. It's been a fantastic interview. It's been incredible insight into life, not only at FC Minai, but also Tertius's fantastic career in South Africa as well. He's really opened up a whole new world of football, I think, for us today, you know, up here in Ukraine. So thank you so much for that. Till next time, everyone at home, take care and stay safe. It's been another interview for the Ukrainian Football Review. Goodbye for now.